In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nobody does it like Patrick Mahomes does it in terms of, I'm not talking about the level of, I'm talking about the style of it. He is his own guy in terms of the way he plays. How quick the ball comes out, down to get it out, and how long he'll take, as long as necessary, to try to find a completion or a scramble run on the ones that aren't out fast.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
It's from Contreras. Mookie swings, hits a drive, deep left field. This ball's back. This ball's gone. A home run. Mookie Betts with a Mookie moment in Anaheim. A three-run shot. And the Dodgers have opened it up in the 10th.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
2-2.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
Hump day!
Happy hump day, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
What is happening?
Delightful little Wednesday morning, waking up to breaking news with a downtown shooting as we're in downtown Portland.
Oh, there was a downtown shooting last night?
Yeah, well.
That's wonderful news.
Who knows when it happened? I don't know.
Yeah, probably 2 o'clock, so about, 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
That's the end of the night for most people, and it's, the end of the night, the sleep night for us, usually.
Everybody's going home now and going to bed.
That's right.
Shot people, I'm going to bed now.
Okay, bedtime now. Yeah, I didn't see that news. You're up on the early morning news now, man. You're plugged in.
I'm a big morning news guy lately.
Why is that? Just because you're just curious of what's going on in society?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Just keep track of your city and see what's happening.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan of the local
news. When your attention can be most captured.
Well, I have this new thing where I go to my garage at 4:15 a.m. and I get the blood flowing a little bit and stretch out, and I just decided to turn the news on. I'm alone in there. I need some noise, so why not just... Hey, what happened last night around our area?
That's up to what's the weather going to look like today? How's traffic looking this morning? You're fully plugged in on everything going down today.
Rod Hill just comes scampering out. Hey, here's what the weather's going to be today.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be hotter than a bitch today. All right.
Yeah, it's basically
thanks,
what
Rod.
Said.
All right, thanks, Rod. All right, I'll stay inside. Turn the AC on and try to stay cool. Got it.
I still haven't decided if I like the traffic guy on KGW yet.
We're not sure if we like the traffic, bro?
I think his name's McGinnis. Yeah, he looks like he wears glasses, but he refuses to wear glasses doing the broadcast.
It's a little weird. Can he not see okay then? Are we just he's not fully seeing the traffic and the highlights? He needs to put his glasses on.
Well, isn't that a green screen for them?
Well, it is a green screen, but I'm still like he has a face that like says I wear glasses most of the time, but when I'm on TV. Let me Superman this.
When you do traffic in this city, it's an uphill battle because we have the king who's been here for 30 years.
Oh.
I mean, we've had
Waze?
No, it's Jeff Rust on Saturdays with your game day traffic and weather.
Smoky alerts.
Tony Martinez. I mean, it's just when you have such a staple in the industry, it's hard to break through.
Tony Martinez, what a life that man's lived from helicopters to Fox 12, just living a life. Living life.
But he said, blood pumping in the garage, huh? What do you think Hump Day is literally saying there? Yeah, all right, what are you doing out there in the garage, Sprager? Just getting your day started right.
Hey, Drew Carney and China Green, they get it moving. They get it going.
They get you started right.
They get me started right.
It is helpful sometimes to be plugged into the local news, because there's a lot of things that will happen and I'm just like, oh, somebody was shot last night. I had no clue. No clue that even happened, because I haven't seen the morning news yet.
Well, it has been kind of nice to follow, like, there was a plane crash in Fairview, which isn't that far from me.
What?
Did you not see this?
No.
It was a little single-engine, little putter plane.
I'm not watching enough local news. I didn't see that at all.
Two people, it came down. They said they had handling problems. They couldn't land it. It landed in a townhome.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, somebody was in it, unfortunately. So they perished as well. So there's three people. There's a video right here.
Yeah, there
Bam.
It is. Whoa.
Hit power lines, hit into the house. It was crazy.
Imagine just hanging out on like a Monday afternoon, and that's what you're greeted by behind your house? That'd be terrifying.
Oh, it's insane. There were a ton of videos on social media, people in the neighborhood, they were just like, we heard this loud explosion.
Yikes.
Yeah, very awful. So it's kind of been nice to follow that, because that's not too far from us.
No, that's not too far at all. I do have the weird thing, I don't know if you guys do this, whenever I'm outside or in the backyard, maybe I'm just like in a scene from Goodfellas, whenever a plane or a helicopter flies over, I always look up and look.
Every time
I hear the sound of a plane, there's an immediate like, oh, where is it? What kind of a plane is it? Oh, look, it's a helicopter. There it goes.
Yeah.
Every time it flies by, I'm always curious what it looks like. And I'm wondering if my neighbors think I'm like a drug dealer who's thinking the cops are going to come find him or something. But I always look at the planes.
Why would your neighbors think you're a drug dealer?
Because I'm always looking up at the sky. It's kind of a weird thing to do. It looks like I'm paranoid, but I'm just curious about airplanes.
Living on the east side, if you're semi-close-ish to the airport, I used to get this a lot in Park Road. Mm-hmm. It just always sounds like those big planes, like, oh, is it coming down?
Yeah.
Right over your house.
It's way too loud, way too low.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like it should be this loud.
Right. And sometimes I look up, I'm like, could I throw a baseball and hit that airplane?
I could probably hit that
airplane. Probably not, but it feels like I could.
Uncle Rico could get a baseball up there. I think you could get one up there. You could hit the bottom of that plane.
Did you happen to see, not that we have any like care about it, did you happen to see the Angels and Shohei Ohtani's return to Anaheim yesterday?
I did see this highlight. I didn't watch the game, but I saw the highlight of it.
I thought, is there a sadder fan base than the Angels? They're just relegated to giving him a standing ovation after never getting to the playoffs and losing him to the other LA team.
Yay.
It's not like he went across the country to the Yankees.
No.
He went an hour up the freeway.
It's like your wife left.
He didn't even
your
move, dude. He just has a longer commute now, man.
Other end of the cul-de-sac.
He didn't move to Boston or New York. He's just living in the same house, playing for a different team now.
Steve up the road's richer and he's more hung than you. I'm going to go move into his house. God damn it.
I did see this highlight.
All right, congratulations. Good job, Steve. Way to get her.
The Lexus with the giant red bows in the driveway on Christmas.
I had two different reactions. One, or two reactions to it. One was the same of just, God, that's embarrassing, that fan base, and that's a miserable existence. But two was, of all the like comeback games, that's a pretty big deal in sports when you get the first time you go back and play the old team. That one did nothing for my sports fandom.
Well, it's because the other team
I mean, they're just horrible.
Sucks. Yeah.
It's absolutely horrible. But usually in those, you're like, all right, it's Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's not very good, but this is going to be fun, and they're going to boo him, and this will be LeBron and Cleveland. Cleveland was the worst team in the NBA that year. LeBron going back to Cleveland was a massive story. This one did not move my needle.
Last one that you guys can remember that you cared about. Is it Dame Portland? But
yeah.
Also, Portland sucked.
Exactly.
I know they won the game, but
yeah, that
were terrible.
Pissed me off that they won that game. That's the last one that I cared about. I'm trying to think. I mean,
I wonder if there's one in football that I'm not thinking about. Does Houston play Buffalo? That would be interesting.
Houston and Buffalo would be interesting. I don't believe that the Jets and the Packers play this year.
How are Giants fans feeling about Barkley?
Yeah,
with
Saquon going
Eagles?
Back.
Oh, you know what?
That's not
is
a bad
that
call.
One interesting to you? I think it helps when the other team is also okay to good.
Yeah, you
and
don't have
Eagles
any faith that
the
Giants are good.
No.
But, I mean, that was the Giants' kind of only hope.
One also, it seems like they just
all they got, man.
Really screwed
you know,
that
maybe
thing
Malik
up.
Nabers will turn into something, but you won't know until you get a real quarterback.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins going back to Minnesota do anything for you? That game happens this year in December.
Is Kirkers going healthy. Back to D.C. or Minnesota bigger to you? Because D.C. kind of I mean, they paid him, but like they refused to pay him. You
know
what I mean?
They got rid of him. They didn't think he was a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of those since he left, too. They've just been stockpiled with franchise quarterbacks.
Right.
I think Minnesota's a bigger deal because he had more success in Minnesota. And I want to say that he was there for longer. Was it a 6-year run there as a Viking?
Probably.
That sounds about right off the top of my head.
He's got his playoff win in Minnesota.
That's his only playoff win. He's got one of them, and it happened in that uniform. I don't think that game does anything for people, but that is a reunion game that's happening this year.
I do love a good return game. I saw that yesterday and went, meh.
I think it
also a lot of Dodger fans. So it was like,
yeah, I mean, the Angels are a joke. I also feel like it helps when there's more interest in less. If it's your fandom, you care. Like Lillard coming back was a big deal for Blazer fans, but we suck. The larger NBA crowd probably didn't care that much about that game because why would you be watching
that
game?
They're going to do it again this year. It's the only national game we get.
That's our only TNT
only got
game,
one.
I think.
We got one all season. I feel like, though, for an interest level for just a random fan, there has to be animosity in the return game.
Okay.
Like, it has to be a boot. Like, when
LeBron?
LeBron.
LeBron Cleveland.
Kevin Durant, OKC. Yeah. Like, it's got to be that level. Freddie Freeman going back to Atlanta. Like, it's cool for Braves fans. They gave him a standing ovation. He's crying. It's like, do you even really want to be here?
No, remember, he
didn't want
to be
back in Atlanta.
There,
this is reportedly so weird. Like, that one didn't do much for me because it was too happy. I like the ones where they get booed every time they touch the ball. They're up to bat. Huh. Like, that's the reunion game that I look forward to.
So you
to
like
more.
The hatred involved in it. It's like Griffey going back to Seattle as a Red. Yeah. That didn't do anything for you?
I mean, it did a little bit because he was such a connected Mariner, but I prefer the booing. LeBron.
A-Rod coming back as a Ranger to Seattle.
Yeah.
Getting his ass
How
booed.
Dare you take all that money?
That's right. Griffey left, but yay, Ken Griffey, but A-Rod left. Boo, you're a bum.
LeBron is the greatest comeback game, though, in the history of sports, I think.
Oh, athlete returning to former
team? That first
team?
Game in Cleveland, I will never forget that game.
Okay, that's a fair one because I also
top
will never
that
forget
one.
That.
Top that one for me.
But Cleveland sucked.
They did suck.
But the hatred was...
Dude, they booed the hell out of him. He was the villain that year
what
in the NBA.
What about Jordan going back to Chicago? Do you remember that or were you too young?
I was not too young. He was so old and washed and he had already retired for a second time. It wasn't the same, man. It was like, all right, he's
that, there wasn't much
30 years old, averaging
that.
16 points per game. All right. That's.
I think we've got one coming up in 2 weeks.
What do we got in 2 weeks?
I think we've overlooked it.
Jonathan.
Oregon coming back to Oregon State.
Ah.
Former Pac-12 enemies.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
It might not feel so good.
Yeah, if we can't run the ball, it's not going to feel very good at all.
Feel good for us.
We're going straight up. You're not getting any points in that game with our offensive line.
2.9 yard average, please.
Yeah, not getting no points, baby. Straight up against the spread.
No, I'm with you. I think the animosity does help. But also, I do like when guys, I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up with just a mom and no dad. I'm a little soft in the, I like seeing the emotional standing ovation guy that played for City for a long time comes
back. It's heartwarming, for sure.
Freddie Freeman going back to Atlanta.
Yes, he mentioned that one. That was great because Freddie, you know, helped us win a World Series. But also, it was really weird how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, he didn't feel like he even wanted to
He wanted to
leave.
Be a Brave, but, like, he wouldn't sign for what they offered. And then he goes to the Dodgers, and then he has, like, this weird regret thing.
And
but
then
now
they
he's like
Matt Olson the second he steps on the plane.
They moved right off of him into a pretty good player, and now he's, I think, happy in L. I don't know. That whole situation was weird.
There's one that I'm forgetting from the opening week of last NFL season, and that is Russell Wilson went back to Seattle. Remember that game? Or no, that was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years
two.
Ago.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett didn't call the timeouts and tried to kick a 70-yard field goal to win the game.
I'll give you a hot take. I was excited for it in the moment. You definitely could find tape. I don't know if that did a whole lot for me.
And that was the
Seahawks
Geno Smith.
Fans were juiced.
Yeah,
they Seahawks booed the hell out of him.
Deserved
the
game.
So,
yeah. Finally could finally admit, like, this guy's a weirdo. Yeah. We can boo him now.
Yes. We don't have to root for this guy anymore? Is that what you're telling
me? They used to defend him. He's not that weird. You know, it's kind of normal. And then he leaves like, he's a super big weirdo, man. He smells his own farts and... Got his weird friends. Like, oh, thank you.
He's definitely a fart smeller, by the way.
Absolutely.
He is definitely a fart smeller.
Spicy! Rolls his windows up and he's like,
ooh. That smells good, Russ.
No, I do. Just the return.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Now, we did get a Montana back in San Francisco game, right?
I was too young to appreciate that.
I'm trying to remember. I think that was a Monday night game.
A Monday night game.
He won, too, didn't he? Didn't he beat San Francisco?
Yeah.
See, that would have been.
He won the breakup early. They had some success in Kansas City.
And the Niners kept falling short in the playoffs.
Getting beat by Dallas. Yeah, he was winning that breakup early.
And then they finally won a Super Bowl without him. And then you thought, all right, Steve Young's an all-time great as well. But that's the only other one like in my head that will stick out being a big deal. But I was just too young to remember
Favre, it. Favre, but he was so far gone.
Yeah, but he was a Jet in between.
First, yeah.
But still to be a Viking was still like, oh,
it was weird.
God.
Him coming back to Lambeau was weird, but he did the Jet thing and retire and unretire.
They blew the hell out of him in his return to Lambeau.
They did.
That,
when he was a Viking. Ooh. They didn't like the way he handled that, even though they were gifted Aaron Rodgers for the next 20 years.
It was like the only team, maybe the Bears, maybe, but they own the Bears. The Vikings are the only team that caused them problems, and he went to that one team.
This is a pretty good one, too, and it was because of the height of the rivalry and what they were both doing at the time. Johnny Damon going to the Yankees and going back to Fenway.
Yes. Yeah, he cut all his hair.
Everything
like,
shaved
what
off.
A douche.
He helped them end the drought and win the World Series and then signed with the Yankees and had to come back to Boston. I remember that.
Well, Clemens kind of did it in a roundabout way. He went through, Toronto and then finally got to New York and was like, oh, okay, you're going to do this to us.
You're a Yankee now. Huh? That's a little weird.
Here's one looming just to kind of bury in the back of our mind because we've got some college football leftovers to get to today. I'm actually going to dive pretty decently heavy into some NFL. I'm jacked for the NFL.
Tomorrow night,
baby.
We get it.
It's here. We'll talk about that game probably more tomorrow-ish, but I got some other NFL stuff I want to get to. Could have a Mario Oregon playoff looming. That one would be...
We got to get over our 2.9 yards per carry first before we get there.
Yeah, no, that's a fair rebuttal by you, Oregon fan, but like just of thinking about...
Oh, that'd be glorious to get that. If he had to come to Autzen Stadium...
If he had to come to Autzen Stadium for the playoff.
That would be fantastic.
Now, does he get booed?
Yes.
Really?
Without a doubt, he gets booed. Yeah, I mean,
last coach to win the conference for you.
He was, yeah.
He'll get booed.
Yeah.
The tricky part
you think he'd
with...
get booed?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to put a poll question
There's not
on
a
this.
Doubt in my mind that he
really?
Would get booed. Yeah.
The tricky part to make that happen.
He gave you guys four great years. He put you up on a pedestal to recruit, and then he went home.
He was fine. He was okay. He's not one of us, though.
Okay.
Go back
the
to
the tricky
Miami,
part to making that happen now is Miami can't win the ACC.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because otherwise they get
ACC,
a first round bye.
Right, yeah. Right. So in that scenario,
so somebody's got to trip them up in the conference title game.
Say Clemson beats them somehow on a field goal in the ACC title game. Which, Clemson has two losses. Miami has two losses. Miami's getting in.
Yeah, they would definitely get in as a playoff team.
But you would need to win the Big Ten, I think.
No, you would be at large.
Yeah, you could just host them that way.
No, run the table, lose to Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you'd be
and
the
then
five
you're
seed.
At they'd a five or six seed, depending on Notre Dame.
We need to get going, but I'll say this: I also think it'd be hard to tell if he's booed or the team's booed because he probably comes out with Miami out the tunnel.
Very true. Everybody would
and
get
you would
booed
boo
as
any
one.
Team, no matter what.
But I don't think there's like a serious level of hatred there. But yeah, I'm not giving that. What do I owe him a standing ovation for? I'm not giving him a standing. What am I supposed to applaud when he takes the field? Thank you, Mario.
Why did the Angels give Ohtani a standing ovation?
They didn't. I think Dodger fans gave him a standing.
No,
ovation.
I saw an Angel
they
fan
don't have,
just like,
there's
ah,
one
I
guy,
guess we'll do that.
One Japanese guy in the crowd. Yeah, I miss you, Shohei! Dude, it was all Dodger fans there last night.
That Japanese guy's not an Angel fan anymore. Breaking news. He's a Dodger fan.
He changed his team colors, man.
Absolutely.
He's wearing blue now.
All right, well, let's get it going. We got a lot to get to. Some college football leftovers. Let's start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, I'm putting the poll question up. If Mario Cristobal ever returned to Autzen Stadium, would he be booed if he was showed on the big screen? Yes or no?
Husky fan texting in asking if Kalen DeBoer came back to Seattle for a playoff game this year, would he get booed?
I think it's tough. We got to take the playoff out because, you might boo him because he left you, and I get it.
Yeah, I said if I were a Husky fan, I would boo him.
But the playoff, you're booing any and every. Saban could have been your coach. If he comes back, you're booing that team.
They could have Jesus Christ as their head coach, and I'm going to boo the hell out of him, dude. Make some noise on third down. You can't handle this heat, Jesus.
You had to go there, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, why not? It's a playoff game, man. You realize how important this is?
I don't care if you're the Messiah.
It doesn't matter.
How serious can you be in sandals?
Your dad ain't going to save you today.
This guy's on the sideline coaching in sandals and a robe, man. Take him seriously. Not a football guy.
You ain't bleeding the blood of lamb today.
You're going to learn today.
What was that commercial where the guy used to tackle people in the office?
Terry Tate.
Terry Tate.
Offensive linebacker.
Offensive linebacker, yeah.
I'm just thinking of Terry Tate tackling Jesus now.
Taking him out on the sideline. Sorry, Jesus. This is football.
You ain't getting saved today. Where's your virgin mom now? All right, let's get to some college football leftovers.
Sure, why not?
Hallelujah. Couple teams I'm curious about. We got some audio. We didn't play Brian Kelly audio yesterday.
No, he's slamming tables and we didn't play any audio of him, man.
How
are we here again? He's 0-3 now in season opening games at Florida at LSU. Yeah.
It kind of leads into, I want to talk about the team he lost to. So USC caused Brian Kelly to do this in the postgame.
And that's what I said to the team. I said, we had some guys played their butts off tonight and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach him better because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
Makes $11 million a year.
Yeah, I'm glad we learned that lesson after a tough loss game one. Now I got to do a better job. We weren't too focused on the game late. Their last drive, I know you want to get to USC here. Their last drive, I was screaming at my television.
You mean the one where he threw the pick?
No, the one where they tied the game on a field goal. The ball on like the 8-yard line with like a minute and 40 to go. USC only had one timeout left. Lincoln Riley had to blow multiple timeouts earlier in the half. And instead of just saying, all right, we have one of the best offensive lines in the country, a field goal ties the game, let's at least run it once, make them use their last timeout. And then if we need to run it again, you can tie the game up and run the clock all the way down to a minute or 50 seconds or whatever it would have been. Because I think it was second down. Instead, they threw the ball twice, stopped the clock twice, two incompletions, and they had to kick a field goal. USC held on to their timeout and had plenty of time to go down and score and ultimately win the game. I thought the way that they got away from the run game in the second half was ridiculous game planning.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is he might be 9-3 this year, and that's not awful, but LSU standards say
they have standards, man.
We want to be in the SEC title game. We want to win the SEC. Now, I don't know how reasonable it is for almost any program outside of maybe Bama to say they can beat Georgia, right? I know it's week one, but we know Georgia's loaded. They didn't play all their guys this weekend. So I don't know what to make of Brian Kelly and LSU. I know he's a good coach, but is it the right fit? You know, he's sitting here, he can't get his team to play how he wants them to play.
It felt like, I mean, they had control of that game going into the fourth quarter, it felt like, and then they gave up two touchdowns in the fourth and blew a lead.
Yeah, I felt like this from the start, like SC's first possession, they're punting. It was a quick three and out. I just kind of felt like LSU, I kind of felt like at the beginning they might run away with it. They were moving the ball in chunks. Every play that was a pass play, Nussmeier's completing it. There's like a 10-yard gap between the DB and receiver. I'm like, okay, so
yeah.
Anton Lynn's defense. And then they kind of clamped down a little bit. They got tight offensively. They couldn't score. I don't know. It was a really weird game in that sense, but it has led many to wonder, you know, USC, some have projected 7-5, maybe 8-4, and maybe that's still their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what you saw in some of the other Big Ten action, Penn State's another team I want to talk about. Have you recalculated in your mind USC? Has it changed just beating LSU for you, or is it still one of those week one, not changing my position on what USC might be this year?
I think not changing your position would be a mistake. Am I all the way in on saying USC is going to win the Big Ten or win 11 games because they did it once? No. But
do you put them in the conversation
I think
more
seriously? They have to be in the conversation. They show that they have the ability to play defense. Now becomes the challenge for them of can you do it week in and week out through the course of the season? It's one thing to get up for a game in Vegas. That's a nationally televised game, a spotlight game in the sport, to come away with it late. You score the last touchdown. Okay, you got your win. That was a really good start for them defensively. Even though they gave up like 450 yards. But LSU might be a very good offensive team this year.
They were last year.
They were last year, exactly. And I thought Nussmeier looked good and they ran the ball well. I just thought LSU got away from that too much. But when you show the ability to play defense like that in week one, it shows me that you have that in your arsenal. And we'll see if they can do it week in and week out. But when I look around the rest of the conference, Michigan did not look great against Fresno State. They were in a dogfight in the third quarter and finally pulled away.
Going to the fourth even, yeah.
Even the fourth quarter. Yeah. Ohio State, you know I'm not a big Will Howard guy, and that was a 17-3 or 17-6 game at the half, and their talent eventually overpowered Akron, and I think they broke their quarterback in half. But they ultimately pulled away, but their offense was not wowing you in the first half of that game. Lord knows we saw what Oregon did against Idaho. Like, you look around the rest of the conference, and it maybe is a year where there's not one of those teams that's above everybody else.
Hmm.
And it'll come down to matchups. It'll come down to who you play, and it'll come down to where you play them.
When you play them, all
and
that,
that's,
yeah.
That's the one challenging aspect of putting USC into this Big Ten favorite category, is that I do think, of those other teams included, they have a really challenging schedule. And we're going to find out more about them in a couple of weeks when they go on the road to Michigan, which is a really good defensive team who should be able to take the run game away, and their defense should be able to hang in that game because Michigan can't really throw the football. That's a big Big Ten dictating game on September 21st.
Well, Penn State's another interesting one too, because I've largely been loud of kind of making fun of Penn State in the sense of I know they're good,
mm-hmm.
but they're always stuck in that in between. They can't quite beat Ohio State or some years yeah. Michigan, but they can beat everybody else in the conference,
yep.
and they're in that in between. Look, it's one game. I don't know how good West Virginia is. I think that's the tough part of all this, is we don't know who these teams are quite yet.
They came in with a lot of hype to start the year.
Well, they certainly look the part physically. They just beat the hell out of West Virginia. Here was James Franklin in their post game, just on what he saw from his team.
I think we got a chance to be good on both sides of the ball. I think we got a chance to be more balanced on both sides of the ball. And when I talk about balance, I'm talking about both being able to win on the defense side of the ball, being able to win on the offensive side of the ball. And I thought there was examples of that today. I think they do a really good job on offense. I think their O-line coach is excellent. And I think they do a really good job. So they created some challenges for us. The quarterback's going to be a problem, just like it was for a lot of people all year long. They got two elite backs. So I think our defense played really well. And if you look at us even last year, you know, where we started at the beginning of the year compared to where we were at the end of the year, I think that's kind of the reality and the approach that we have to have. We just got to get better each week. If we get better each week of the season, we'll like where we're at come the end.
That's at sub 165 yards passing for West Virginia and sub 90 yards rushing for West Virginia. Their defense clamped them down. They're another team. Like, maybe they're USC in my mind, because them making the playoff wouldn't shock me.
In an expanded field, not at all.
In an expanded field, but it's like maybe we need to be giving more consideration, just opening our minds to the idea of teams in that conference where we said Ohio State, Oregon, and then kind of question marks in everybody else, and it's just one week.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon looking a little suspect against Idaho.
A little.
And Ohio State's passing attack. Man, the beginning of that game, they could not move the ball. Will Howard was missing dudes left and right.
No.
They won that on just physicality on defense and the run game. maybe that Big Ten conference more open than we thought with what we saw from Penn State and what USC did against LSU.
The interesting thing is I feel like these two teams are very similar, but in one key difference. The similarity is that they have, we know they're good programs. We know, like, we make a lot of jokes about James Franklin. He's a good coach. He just has not been able to get them over the hump. It's not a very easy thing to do in the world of college football. Go beat Michigan and Ohio State. Nobody can really beat either of those teams. Maybe Michigan is different this year, but they're very similar in terms of they just need to clean up the one thing that they've sucked at the last couple of years. For USC, we know it. It's their defense. Now, you see it in week one. You're like, all right, maybe they can play a little bit of defense now. That's always been my criticism of Lincoln Riley. If he can find just a serviceable defense, he's going to be able to compete. And for Penn State, last year, they have the ability up front to hang with anybody. They have the defense to hang with anybody. They've had the running backs to hang with anybody, at least in this current iteration of their program. It's their quarterback play and their passing game downfield. That is what has held them back. Go look at Drew Aller and what he did in the only two games that mattered on their schedule last year. He was below 50% completion percentage against Michigan and Ohio State. He looked awesome in week one. Now, I know the numbers don't jump off, but part of that was there's like a two-hour lightning delay.
Yeah,
they were up by 27. They ran the ball a ton in the second half, so they didn't need him to do much. Most of his production came in the first half. He was shredding West Virginia in the first half. And so it kind of comes down to a question of Penn State or USC. What do you buy more into? Do you buy more into USC finding the ability to play defense consistently? Or do you buy into Drew Aller's ability to realize, hey, I was the number one recruit in the country. I'm a pretty damn good quarterback. We have better wide receivers now. If their passing game can find it similar to USC's defense, they're absolutely a threat to win the conference.
Very interesting teams to kind of follow throughout the college football season and big week ones for both USC and Penn State. All right, coming up next, pivot in the NFL. We got Zigger Zag coming up at 45. Before we get to that, is the hype real? Let's talk about that next on The Fan. Well, Patrick Surtain got paid by the Broncos just now. $96 million extension, $77.5 guaranteed.
Woo!
Getting that money.
It's a lot of money, man.
He's a damn good football player.
Yes, he is.
Broncos got to take advantage of that Knicks contract. So what do? Even though you're paying Russ out, you pay some other guys.
You're paying $80 million to the quarterback of the Steelers.
Best cover corner in the NFL. Let's lock him up.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
That's a fun little week one opening game. Kind of an under the radar
Seahawks?
Game. Broncos, just
they're wearing throwbacks, too.
The throwback uniforms, yeah. Seahawks, kind of, you know, decent expectations. New head coach, new staff. Yeah. I just, you know, rookie QB. I'm excited for that one.
Bo Nix too. In the city couldn't win in.
Wow. Well, you got to go there, huh? You got to go there, huh?
Sore subject.
Really? We're doing that? We're taking shots like that? Why don't you win a real world series, all right? Get your pipe down over there, you fake ring guy.
Gino showed up to the Storm game about midway through the third quarter, which I thought was kind of funny.
When you guys were there on Friday?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, he showed up and he was sitting courtside and they show him on the big Tron.
Did he guzzle a beer Tron? Like they did, like the Packers do at Bucks games or whatever?
No, but he wore glasses the entire time and I'm like, I think you only wear shades inside the entire time if you're stoned off your ass.
Confirmed.
I don't have a problem with him doing that. I just...
No, if you're wearing shades inside at night, you're high as a kite. You are high as a kite.
You know what? I wanted to be high as a kite. It would have made it a little more fun.
Woo! Cheering on your team.
We'll get to NFL Zigger Zag. I got a loaded Zigger Zag today.
I can't wait. I'm ready to zig and zag.
I'm fascinated with a lot of teams in the NFL. It kicks off tomorrow. We got a game Friday. The season on Sunday, we will be locked and loaded on our couches.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided your meal plans for Sunday yet? I haven't.
I have. I'm doing nachos on Sunday. We're a big nacho family
solid,
for football Sunday.
Solid
you kind of graze. They sit out. You go at them whenever you want to go at them.
Well, one team I'm interested in is to see if they live up to the hype. The Houston Texans are getting a lot of buzz.
Yes, they are.
They're getting picked by some to get the AFC Championship game, if not win it.
They're getting the buzz the Bills have had the last few years.
You know what? That's a good way of putting it. It has moved from Buffalo, I feel like, to Houston because Houston took a huge step last year, got the divisional round, came up short against Baltimore, and now here's their second-year quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who was an absolute stud last year. They are loaded defensively. They might be a top five unit. Offensively, they added Stephon Diggs to Nico Collins and Tank Dell. They've got tight end play. They picked up Joe Mixon. Like, they've got running backs. They've got a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs talked yesterday, and he said this, quote, "Last year I was in the worst mental space I've been in since I've been in the league." He added about his play, if I'm not in a good space, obviously that's not the best for me. So that's when things had to start shaking out. He added, The games looked a lot different at the final end of last year in Buffalo. He said, you can blame me. I don't mind blaming me. I got big-ass shoulders. But pay attention. Pay real close attention. Watch the game. Of course, there's plenty of plays I want back, but there's lots of plays that didn't go my way. I need a lot of things to go right to get the ball. So he's leaving Buffalo a little unhappy. Says he was mentally in a bad spot. Also should be noted, voted a team captain in Houston.
He was.
In his first season. The Houston Texans are of top of interest to me because of the hype, because of Stroud, and now adding Diggs to the whole locker room and what they're going to be offensively.
Yeah, the Diggs thing, look, we don't need to get into whether or not he's a number one wide receiver again and yell at listeners about that. My concern about Diggs has never been his talent. My concern about Diggs has been his personality and the kind of teammate he is in the locker room and on the sideline. And when you put on display, when you're losing a game and you're screaming at your quarterback on the sideline, I don't like the optics of that. I don't like having to make my quarterback deal with that. And he's saying he's in a bad spot mentally. Ironically, what happened at the end of the last season for Buffalo? What were they doing? Were they winning or losing games? They were winning games. Now, he was in a bad spot mentally. Why? Because he wasn't touching the ball enough, which tells me all that I need to know. It's not about winning and losing. It's about, am I getting my touches? Am I getting my looks? And good luck to a young quarterback for that, because you go 3 weeks into the season, that guy has two catches, one catch, four targets. You think he's just going to be happy, hunky-dory? This is great. I'm glad I'm in Houston in a contract year, not seeing the football. This has been who he has been his entire career. He was a bit of a headache in Minnesota. It lingered on in Buffalo. They actually had a really good end of their season last year. And if he catches a ball, they beat the Chiefs in the playoff game. And so I just, good luck with that is my first forewarning. I am not buying the Houston Texans hype this year. I'm just not.
Really?
I think C.J. Stroud's going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL. I think there has been a rush, though, after a very good rookie season to just vault him into this category.
Don't we do this with every young
quarterback? We do this with every young quarterback. We do it with Jordan Love. We did it with Jalen Hurts. Yeah. We do it with all these guys.
We do it every time.
How did Jalen Hurts look after going to the Super Bowl the very next year when he was the MVP front runner going into the season last year? How did things go for Philly? Now, I know they lost their coordinators, and it wasn't all on him. I'm just saying for a lot of guys, we put them immediately into this category of he's a top three guy, he's a top five guy. It's very hard to live up to that. The other dynamic that's going on here is, one, I do think their division is going to be more challenging this year. The Colts were above 500 with a backup quarterback. Anthony Richardson will take his lumps, but I think he's serviceable and they should be good.
They got Flacco behind him anyway. If he gets hurt.
Here we go. Flacco's a playoff quarterback.
They meet in opening week.
They do meet in opening week. And then in Jacksonville, it's just like, I know that you're not the biggest Doug Peterson guy. It's hard for me to see them being as bad as they were in the second half of the season last year. Trevor Lawrence might not be a top five guy either, but I don't think he's a bad quarterback, and I think that they will be better this year. And then the last caveat I'll add, and this is, again, start of the year, so this might end up being completely wrong, but when you look at the rosters awake or they're constructed, people put together strength of schedules in the NFL, and they have like the sixth or seventh hardest schedule in the entire National Football League because they finish in first and they play a first-place schedule this year. So I'm not saying the Texans are going to be terrible or that C.J. Stroud sucks. I just, in terms of a Super Bowl, I'm not buying that level of hype.
I'm just excited to see it. I love seeing if opinions are right or wrong. And I'm a big Stroud guy. Not that that's, you know, unique. Everybody seems to be a big C.J. Stroud person. But I'm a big Stroud guy. And so the expectations for what they are, what they become, it largely does hinge on, does he duplicate, if not build on it?
He needs to take it to the next level.
He only had 23 tutties last year, which is good for a rookie year.
Great for a rookie year.
But can he get to 30, 35? Or what is that going to look like for them? Maybe they're more balanced, so he doesn't need to get to 30. But one of the more interesting teams to me in the NFL going into the year is definitely Houston because of all the hype, and now they've added Diggs to it. NFL Zigger Zag Dirt, that is next on 1080 The Fan. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Josh Pate's going to join the show every Wednesday at 7:40 in the second hour of the program. But it is time, is Wednesday, 6:45 for NFL Zigger Zag. Week one, baby. Here we go. It's back.
No more Major League Baseball Zigger Zag? Is that what you're telling me?
No more NBA Zigger Zag?
When do we get NHL Zigger Zag?
Yeah,
never. Dreisaitl just got paid.
He did. Zag on that idea.
Hey.
Let's start here.
What do you got?
NFL playoff turnover.
Ooh.
Bill Barnwell said on the Bill Barnwell Show that one of his mild takes this year, as the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Bears will make the playoffs. What do they all have in common?
They did not make the playoffs last year, Bob.
What else?
Who are they? Chargers, Bengals, and who we're talking about?
Bears.
And Bears. They all have quarterbacks?
Every team has a quarterback.
I don't know. What else do they have in common?
All three were last place in their division last season.
Okay.
So, Dirt.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Zig or zag, there will be over 2.5 last place teams from 2023 making the playoffs in 2024.
Over 2.5.
So over 2.5. Bill Barnwell has the over here.
Okay, Bengals would be a candidate. Your other last place teams, Patriots, no. Titans, I would not gamble on, no. Chargers, Commies, I would not gamble on. Bears, Panthers, or Cardinals. I'm gonna zag on that. I'll take the under. You tell me the two of those three get in, I could buy it. I see the argument for the Bengals. I see the argument for the Bears. I see the argument
for
the Chargers. I'm not quite there on the Cardinals. They were 4-13. Kyler Murray should make them tougher this year, but going to the playoffs is a bit of a hill to climb in a tough division. I will zag on that. I'll take the under. Give me two, not three.
All right. A game I'm super excited for is Friday's Eagles-Packers game in Brazil. However, you know I don't like regular season games internationally, but Eagles cornerback Darius Slay, also not a fan of this particular one, saying, quote, "I do not want to go to Brazil." You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't go do much because the crime rate is crazy. I'm like, NFL, why would you want to send us somewhere with a crime rate this high? His family is not going to the game because of this.
Yeah, there's been lots of reports that players are telling their family, do not come.
So, Dirt, zig or zag, the NFL made a huge mistake playing this one in Brazil.
Zig, all international games are a massive mistake. We shouldn't play any international games. I hate them. They're stupid. The NFL's never going to go to Europe. I understand it's a business and they want to make more money. I don't care about that. They have enough money. We don't need more fans internationally. You got every single fan in the United States of America. And on top of that, I hate the fact that we take away a home game from fan bases who genuinely care about their teams. Like the Jags going overseas, whatever, dude. Nobody cares about the Jags. You're taking away a home game from Philadelphia or Green Bay. I think Philly's
the home team.
The home team. Yeah. Either way, though,
from the Cardinals.
Like, why is this game not in Philadelphia, dude? That would be such a great start on a Friday night. I don't care about the Peacock thing. In Jordan Love going into Philly? Are you kidding me? And in Brazil, this is dumb. Zig on that. It's a horrible idea.
I feel bad for the players, man. Hey, you guys got to go to this country that's super far away, and you can't go do anything. You have to stay in a hotel room all day.
No.
Big year for coaches in the NFL. Sirianni, one of them, right? Obviously in Philadelphia. One coach, though, looking for his first career playoff win.
Mm.
And here's Mina Kimes with a thought on that coach.
When Tua signed his big contract and we were asked, do you feel good about this? Do you think it was smart? My answer was, well, I feel good about it as long as Mike McDaniel is his head coach. And the fact that they were able to lock McDaniel to a long-term deal, it does feel like those two contracts are sort of intertwined because of their mutual success. And that success is based on a couple of things that I think have made McDaniel fantastic head coach for the Miami Dolphins. One is, of course, his skill as an offensive play caller. I mean, we live in a, I would say, golden age, honestly, of offensive coaches, but he might be the most innovative of all of them.
That's quite a compliment. McDaniel might be the most innovative of all of them. He just got an extension with Miami to 2028. Dirt, zig or zag, Mike McDaniel's a top 8 coach in the National Football League.
Ooh, buddy.
We zigging, we zagging. Zig, zig, zag.
Top 8 coach in the NFL.
Zig or zag?
I'm going to zig. I'm going to zig on that. Sure. Number 8, I don't know if I would put him ahead of any of the, like, I could probably come up with seven names that I would take out of him.
Confidence in your voice.
But I would zig on this. Look, I am a big believer in having a smart offensive-minded head coach, especially in this day and age. I agree with the take of Mina that if you're going to extend Tua, this dude has unlocked Tua and turned him into one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, leading the league in passing yards. Like, he's had a really good couple of seasons under Mike McDaniel. I think the criticism of him is a little laughable of, like, you haven't won a playoff game in 2 years. It's kind of how I feel about some college coaches when we immediately rush to say, why haven't you won the big one yet? He's been a head coach for 2 years, and in the first year he had Skylar Thompson starting in a playoff game. Last year they had to play in the coldest game maybe in the history of the NFL. The biggest thing they got to figure out is just the end of the season. They have tanked, it seems like, at the end of years. They were 9-3 after a win in week 13 last year and lost three of their last five games to lose the division. to Buffalo, which made them have to go on the road in the playoffs. And so if you finish better, they lost to Tennessee in that stretch, too. Tennessee was one of the worst teams in the league. They should have won the division last year. You host a playoff game, maybe it's a different conversation. But I'll zig on that. I can't come up with eight names off the top of my head that I would take over him.
I don't think I'm putting him in like an AFC legitimate can beat the Chiefs category. But I'm high on the Dolphins this year. And I think they win a playoff game. I think they get a wild card game this year.
Okay.
Not home field, or they get home field, but like they're not with the bye.
I think they could definitely win that division.
But they can win that division. Buffalo may take a slight step, and that came down to the very end of the season anyway when they played. And had they not blown the Titan game, they would have won the division.
They lost the last week of the season to Buffalo, like 21-17, to lose the division, and that won Buffalo the division.
They have to rebuild and revamp that defense a little bit. They're making a change there with coordinator, but they've got some solid pieces back, obviously, in the secondary. If they can just shore up some things defensively, maybe Miami can take that step into true contender category.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to think about Mike McDaniel. Finally, I saw our buddy Nick Costas of You Better You Bet make this proclamation. Not a hot take in any way whatsoever, but the NFL starts tomorrow.
It does.
It is Baltimore, Kansas City. So it's as simple as this. Zig or zag? The Kansas City Chiefs, three-peat.
With my heart, I'm going to zag.
What? With my heart?
Please don't let them win three in a row,
with
man.
With my heart?
I am rooting so... I don't want them to win three
that's
in a row.
Not... You're not I'm playing. Zigging. You're not playing.
Need some Celine Dion in the back.
I do. My heart will go on.
No. Zig or zag?
Zag. I'll zag.
Three-peat.
Zag. There you go. Zag, they won't win three in a row.
It's because you don't want them to, or you don't think they will?
A combination of both.
If I made you take a mortgage payment and put it down on a team, you wouldn't put it on the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, but in this question, you're giving me the entire NFL or the Kansas City Chiefs, and I would give it on the entire NFL. You're giving me 31 teams versus one, and
it's
I would
also
take 31
a confidence
teams.
Meter thing. Where's your confidence in the other teams?
I mean, they could have easily lost three different playoff games last year.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. That's fine. I know. I'm not saying they don't deserve to win the title last year. I'm zagging on that, though.
Okay.
Three in a row is an incredible accomplishment, and I don't think we're going to see it this year.
What if they did?
Be wild.
Be wild. Would suck.
It would absolutely suck.
We're gonna be stuck in this for another 15 years.
I told you you'd get there eventually. When everybody's all Pro
I don't
Mahomes.
Hate them yet though.
Oh, I hate the hell out of
do
the
do you
Kansas.
Really?
Hell yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Screw them. The Taylor Swift crap. No, I'm done with the Chiefs.
Oh man,
give
all
me
right.
anybody. It literally anybody
Taylor
else this
Swift
year.
Taylor Swift is drawn up plays now.
Yeah, I don't
it's
buy that.
Insufferable.
By the way. We're gonna run plays. Taylor, knows
I can't
to
wait
out.
Until they. Did you know she's in the box? I can't wait to show her with all of her rich, famous friends acting like they love football again.
They love the Chiefs.
I'm so excited for that. I can't. What does Ice Spice think that Andy Reid should do on third down?
Are you mad that Ice Spice
God,
is being
I
shown?
I really want to know the I mean, answer to this question.
At least she's on. I'm getting God. The best of both worlds.
What does
Ice
Blake
Spice
Lively think about cover two? Like, oh,
both your daughters front and center Thursday night right there on the couch?
Dude, Blake Lively, Deadpool, in the box at a Chiefs game? I'm all in.
My niece is now like, I like the Chiefs. Like, no, you don't. Stop it. Drives me nuts.
Loaded second hour of the radio show. Hour number two will conclude NFL Zig or Zag. We do it every Wednesday at 6:45. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.